Hello, welcome to another episode of Honest to a Malt with Tupids, aka Mike, because his surname's become surname, first name. His first name is now less known than his nickname, and me, Duncan, still yet unnicknamed. Or just having such a strong name that I don't need a nickname.
It's my secret agent. My identity is safe.
So, Mike, Tupids, what's the name of the episode today?
So we have hit our quarter century. We're on episode 25.
225.
Well, not 225, just 25.
Not 225, not.
That's way into the future. Oh, yeah. Good drop. Yes, and today's episode is called Dice, Dice, Maybe.
Dum, 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 dum. There we go. We'll get to why we've called it Dice, Dice, Maybe later on in the pod, which will probably be about 25 minutes' time.
Yeah.
Going in our general format. So, huge thanks to Michael Omri. Now, he has formally requested everyone to start saying his surname in the correct French way.
He's thinking about changing it on Depol to drop the H.
just an apostrophe at the start. Yeah. It's just E-N-R-Y. E-N-R-Y. He's... Yeah, anyway, thanks so much. We had really good feedback on that episode. And hopefully Graham Cool from Dingle is going to be coming on late November. Yep. So we should have another really jam-packed, interesting episode with, one of the people behind the whiskey.
Yeah.
We're also, I think we'd really like to have on some female guests. So yes. We should organise that.
We definitely need to.
Thanks to you guys for listening. Just as a bit really quickly, I think we've got over 100 followers on Spotify now, and I don't know, 50-ish on Apple, and I think we're closing on 5,000 plays. That's thanks to you. Yeah. Much appreciated. And all the people that have given us like 5 stars, again, thanks very
much. Keep it going.
Yeah, yeah. And also for the engagement, there was some really good engagement on the last episode with Michael, who came on online on mostly on Twitter or X, which is where we are at. On at Whiskey Tip and at Whiskey Wings.
And at Honest to a Malt.
And obviously at Honest to a Malt. Yeah, thanks. So, what has been in your glass in the last few days? 10 days, right, since the last pod.
What's been in my glass for most of those 10 days? Water.
Yeah. What have you been drinking, Mike, my friend?
Mike.
Mike.
Then this is day two of having a dram. So I had my first alcoholic drop yesterday.
Right.
It's not for health reasons that we talk about previously, we're losing weight. No, it's for health reasons because I have the back of an 80-year-old. And
Is it true that you farted and that's how you put your back
No, out? Less or more embarrassing, I should say. Less strenuous than farting. I leaned forward in work to plug in a laptop charger and got sniped. Literally.
How far did you
lean? It was a good 2.5 foot. It wasn't even a deep lean. Just
so you sat down at the time?
Sat down. Yeah, just got in, put my bags down and stuff, sat there. Hello. Hello.
What are the chances on the last pod we're talking about sort of rugby injuries and how they'll
exactly.
come back?
Exactly.
I made a joke about people not being able to get out of the car because their back's gone, and then you've done your back sitting at a desk trying to plug in a
laptop.
And
then couldn't get in a car as I had to get my pregnant wife to pick me up from the station because I couldn't make it back.
Mike was in bed sort of for a few days. You were sort of bed laden.
I'm bed laden now. This is the longest I have been stood up in ages. So, right. Yeah, dedication for you guys. I've got a lot of painkillers in me.
To make Michael feel better, feel better. That's what happens when you have guests on the podcast with a really similar name. To make Tupids feel better, I'm also standing up. So we're out of solidarity, I'm standing up as well.
So it feels like a chat outside a pub now. Feels like we're leaning against the wall.
Or, as I mentioned to you earlier, like if you remember those boy band videos when during the key change, they would all stand up out of their seats.
Suddenly stand. Yeah.
Yeah, like Boyzone or something. They'd all get up for the key.
Except they're not leaning over using a desk for support.
You're leaning on
I'm
a desk.
I'm leaning on a desk, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's the troubles I go to. But I mean, I'm on the mend. It might take a little while, but I'll get there. It's all good. We're all good.
Okay. Well, I think everybody wishes that you stay in pain for a bit longer. So
For once, I'm the negative one on this side of the pod. So you're going to have to come up with something good. So what's been in your glass this week? And yeah, what's new?
Well, yeah, I can carry the team on this one. No probs.
You've got the back for it.
I literally could. Where to start? What's been in my glass? Andrew Pab whiskey. I'm still getting through his samples. I've previously never liked Kilhoman.
Yep.
Something like a little bit of an aftertaste there, and that sort of farmyardness, which I just not fond of. But he gave me a
Sané
2020. No, it was a 2020 festival edition. Yep. 12-year-old bourbon, 54.2%. Nice. And actually, very crisp, very fresh. It still had that after note, but it didn't bother me as much as it did. And I think that's the ninth one I've tried from Kilhoman. So maybe I'm coming around. I still wouldn't pick it it would be the least favourite of my Islay.
Oh, I love it. I really like the stuff.
But I wouldn't be adverse to now picking it from a bar to have a drink.
Yeah.
You know, especially if it's like bourbon cask. So that was quite interesting. I bought the Master of Malt Secret Islay, 10-year-old, 59%.
You're allowed to tell people it's a secret.
Well, no one's going to know what it is, but I had a guess. And people are going to tell me I'm probably way off. But I mean, maybe, you know, you might have an idea about this. So it's very creamy, very medicinal peat,
It's Laphroaig,
That's what I said, Laphroaig. Yeah. And also, even like the percentage stacks up, often those kind of cast strength Laphroaigs are around 59 to 61%. And it has like yellow pears in it and peaches, and you know, obviously the spice and the oak is there, it's quite strong. You get kind of like creosote a bit once you've brought it down a little bit on the nose.
I always get like a lime with Laphroaig as well, like a really strong citrus.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think that was there so much. It was more kind of like the fruits that I mentioned, I think.
The creosote, though, definitely. Like,
oh, yeah, CCP. Definitely. Oh, what I did get was I got kind of like cooked ham and mustard on the nose, right? Yeah, so it was a mixture between kind of meaty and fruity. And I think that was like 50 quid. I'm glad I got a bottle of that. And interesting what you said. Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably Laphroaig, right? So I don't know if that's good value or not. I guess it's not bad value. 50 quid for
what was the strength?
10-year-old. 59%.
Decent. Yeah.
Single cask.
Oh, yeah. All day long.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't strike me like it's a Kalila, but, you know, I'm sure people will say different. Yeah. I did those blind drams.
Yes.
But we'll come to that. Hang on, before we get to that, my highlight of the week was spotting that mega deal on Waitrose Cellar for Loch Lomond 18.
I'm really glad that you text me straight away before you put it on social media. Really glad.
Well, I just thought... Listen, the truth is, Mike, I just didn't want to put your your nose out. So I don't know, like everyone, you know, people, maybe I should, I'd like to have a bum fight for it on social media. So, but anyway, what was it? You've got a ton of notifications, haven't you, Mike? Was it 58 quid down from 90? I think the cheapest I've seen it is £85. You know, with the Brian, we're regularly mentioning Brian now. His little Brian's Corner. So Brian did a great blog article recently about
18-year-olds.
18-year-olds. Whiskey. Also core range whiskey, right? 18-year-old whiskey and the changing prices and how Dalmore's gone up like ridiculously. And I think the only one to go down in price was... Tom and Tool, was it, maybe?
Might have been Tom and Tool.
But the point is, some of them didn't go up that much because they went up so much a year prior. Yeah. But it's very hard. You look at those prices, it's hard to see how, looking at what the 25 Loch Lomond Glen Scotia charge for, it's hard to see that the 18 isn't going to go up at some point. But regardless of that, take money out of it. I just really like it. 58 quid is a bargain.
58 quid is a steal. Were you expecting a cancellation email?
No, not really. Because it was clearance. They said they want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like an accidental offer. They're like, clearance, we're going to get rid of it. So I assume that's probably... It's the latest bottle, though, so it's confusing. I can only think that supermarkets are struggling, and like wine retailers who specialise in wine really are struggling to sell higher priced whiskey now.
Probably. I would say so.
In enough volume to satisfy them, right? Because, you know, maybe like Lagavulin's like 80 quid now. You know, it's supposed to be £80, but maybe that sells still, and maybe you, some of your Macallan sell, but maybe the other stuff just isn't shifting in the volume that they needed to, except, you know, your core range 12s and stuff. So anyway, that was a win. A few people picked that up. Got a couple for the cupboards. So
hopefully they take pictures and tag the pod.
Did I take pictures and tag the pod?
No, hopefully they do. I don't
but it was from me, not the pod. I mean,
hey, you are one being now.
We are at one. We are at one together. There's now.
Dimensional link.
Joe. So before we get to the blind jumps thing, what's been on my nerves? It's been 10 days can feel like an eternity, can't it? In between podding.
Just really a little bit, forever. Yeah.
So I went to a wedding and it was a real reminder how if you're going to do a wedding speech, you've got to make it funny.
Oh, right? Was it a bad one?
Three bad ones.
Oh.
And one decent one.
Are they listeners to the pod?
No, they're
good.
Not.
Reveal all.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I have to probably be a little bit careful.
What, just no prep or just really rubbish jokes?
Well, in joke, like, so it was one where they were telling, like, in jokes, but the in jokes were so in that only three people out of about 100 guests were actually got it. They were, like, talking to, like, one table. There was a lot of mumbling going on. And then sort of overly gushing as well. There's too much, you know, not everyone's in love with that person.
Yeah.
You know, the point is, my main advice would be if you're going to do a wedding speech, however you do it, borrow the jokes, come up with your own, whatever.
Got to make it personal, but also
personal, entertaining.
Yeah, everyone in the room has to engage with it.
Yeah, like that's the first rule of doing any like when you're doing any kind of speeches, it has to be content that everyone can engage with, right? So,
and you need one joke that's like pretty dirty, but is still on that borderline of okay. It just like a couple of people might tip over to think it's too much.
It was all too clean.
You've got to go. Yeah. You've got to have a bit of blue. Got to have a bit of blue.
No, there was none of that. It was... we're talking bottom five all the time for me. Right?
Well, all three of them.
And it was a really hot day. It was like, that day was like 31 degrees, right? So... I'm like sweating, like a shirt stuck to me. And you're just going, come on, save me.
Just hurry up, get this stuff over with.
Okay, full disclosure, it was my cousin's wedding. But he was actually reasonably funny. So
good.
Fair play
to
him.
That's your get out of jail free card. Yeah, the person that may listen to the pod was half decent. He's going to edit out, that he said you were absolutely rubbish.
Yeah, the other thing that's been getting on my nerves, I mean, really getting on my nerves, is just having a perfect back. Just,
I thought you were supposed to be the positive one. I'm the negative one this week. I'm playing Duncan this week. You're supposed to be playing me.
Yeah. No, it's mostly been a good few days, really, to be honest, isn't it?
Good.
Eva started school, so happy days. She seems to be really happy going to school.
Job done.
Everything's good. Yeah. Yeah. So let's get onto these blind drams in.
So I sent you three drams. Obviously just labeled about 1, 2, 3. Didn't tell you anything about them. Didn't send you any pictures. You've got no idea what context I was doing anything. And
yeah, I felt,
I felt dirty. Just wanted to see which one, was the best in your opinion and see how you react to what they are. So
I think my favorite one was probably 2, then 1, then 3.
2, 1, 3.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So, your favourite dram, do you want to know?
Yeah, go on, you tell me what it is and then I'll tell you what I have written down.
Because you've got all your notes and stuff written down, yeah?
Well, I didn't write down that much on, I did them. To be clear, I had them when I was having a fun night. I didn't do them like in the, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday with like a clear palate.
Did you sip them or did you just do shots with it? Like, yeah!
Dram 3 went in the eye.
Yeah, fair. Probably the best place for it.
No, I you know, I tasted them and stuff.
Good.
In a proper glass.
All right, well, your favourite, which was Blind Dram 2, was a 1970s famous Grouse Italian export. That was a 43% bottling. Picked it up on auction
that
a while ago.
That was really good.
Yeah, really decent. Really decent.
I'd written down lighter, still sherried, kind of fruity and floral. Yeah. I'd written down, really liked it. I put maybe 10 to 15 year old.
There we go. Probably correct, to be fair. At that time, they were doing bottling older stuff.
I also felt like it had some, like, I'd put down, yeah, I'd written down Amarone, although obviously that's not sherry cask, but it was quite sweet, but in a good way, right? That was really interesting. Okay, thanks. Let me try that one.
Wow. That's a good one. And then,
Dram One, I felt like tasted, it isn't now because I've tried it again, but it was in the same ballpark as the Glenmurray Warehouse Edition One Oloroso cask. It isn't the same as, I don't think, but it also made me think it was, had kind of a meatiness to it. It was kind of sort of a meaty sherry dram. I don't know, like Craig Ellachie or something like that.
Craig
Ellachie. Are you lucky? Go on then.
Took a four drink on Monday. So Blind Dram One was, you're going to go, you say Glenmurray. It's actually Cutty Sark Prohibition, the overproof version. So same distillery sort of company, essentially.
Okay, so same distiller, but blend versus...
Made by La Martinique. Okay, La Martinique. Remember that? Yeah, I wrote it down.
So what ABV was that then?
50%.
So I thought that was a sort of 8 to 12-year-old range, but I guess probably is on blend, but maybe it's got some older stuff and some younger stuff.
But obviously, I think that was 25 quid a bottle, and that was the Jeff Whiskey Jeff Whiskey recommendation.
Yeah, it's good value, that
Mega.
One. Good value. Yeah.
So
does it mean are they all blends then?
No. What, your least
favourite?
What was
Dram 3 then?
Was the 2023 Glengoyne Teapot Dram.
Oh, wow. I felt that was...
58.9%.
A little hard to tell what it was. I found it quite confusing, very fruity.
So that's what I didn't get on with initially when I first tried it, but it did grow on me.
I felt like it was a mixture between... If for me, felt like a mix between sherry and red wine casks, if you do like both and then chuck them all back in together. But obviously it isn't that, it's just sherry only.
Sherry.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't know why I'm singing so much tonight, sorry. It's the Mets.
I haven't tried that one. Okay, that was really good.
Well, you have.
Thanks.
Who's your third favourite?
One. So I preferred, the favourite was the 1970s Famous Grouse.
Yeah, just an Italian export, so slightly higher ABV.
Damn, that was good.
43%.
What did you pay for that?
I got it, I reckon 4 years ago or so in an auction. Like, you know, when just the auction's finishing and no one's bid on something. I think I chucked like 15 quid on it or something. So always worth looking at those older, higher proofed Italian exports, because Italy used to bang like the whiskey down. The loads of stuff got overproofed and sent out there.
So like any overproofed Italian export, sort of 70s.
70s, probably, 70s.
80s, a bit sketchy, isn't it? 70s, 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
60s and 70s are a better period.
And bigger bottles, the 750s.
You're winning. And the other thing that stood out to me in the last 10 days, post blend it, Michael Henry, was the chat about headspace in bottles really shook me up. But also, having talked with other people, I don't know how you've got such a straight face on. So with the amount of bottles you've got. So I had a look in the cupboard. It was when we were talking to Michael and he said, and I said 6 months, 3 months. And then he was like, pause, and he went, 1 month.
If it hits two thirds gone, you got a month. Yeah.
Drink responsibly. So I got rid of a couple of bottles just because of that. And I've got it down to, I think I've got like two left now with a wee bit left in them, and I'm going to get rid of those, and I'm going to be a bit more careful again, because I used to have a strict sort of 10 to 15 open bottles rule.
I had that once.
That's jumped up to sort of 20 to 25 bottles. That's when it gets a bit like, oh, you know, you end up with just odds and ends here and there, right?
Love it. To be fair, I haven't got that much this all the way down. I got some now. I'm looking and go, I need to finish those, but yeah, nothing too low. I try and just knock them out of the park once they're killable.
We're going to make some more sound bites for the pod. And so this is really more of a request to listeners. Stuff that would work really well if it was in Street Fighter, like Ardemurken!
Ardemurken!
Or Ardemurken! Or is it Cactoking Creek? How do you say it?
Cactocting.
Cactocting Creek! Yeah. Like that. Yeah. So we're looking for any shouts from people who can think of really good distillery names that will work, like a Street Fighter soundbite, because we're going to record some of those. So just hit us up online if you can think of anything other than Ardamerican or Catoctin.
Yeah. Or any of their like famous video games, Catoctin Creek.
Yeah, I guess it could be like Double Dragon related, or it doesn't have to be, it could be Tekken. Doesn't have to be Street Fighter only, does it? Yeah, I mean, I was thinking Street Fighter, but
I laughed my head off when you sent me that idea. I thought that was so good. Ardamerican!
Ardamerican!
Like, if that doesn't appear in an advertising campaign, I'll be fuming, because that's so good. Yeah.
Ardamerican!
And we only need 10%.
Yeah, that's all we want. Just 10. Yeah, don't be greedy. 10% is fine. Split that between us. Yeah, so any listeners' material this week, Mike?
Yes, I did get contacted. So someone chased me up about a few other bits and then dropped in that he's got a story about sneaking stuff into the house now. I won't name his name because obviously we never like to reveal identities. I'm going to call this person Frank because everyone likes to talk to Frank.
He's got to have a surname. Can't just be Frank, can he?
Well, if you know Frank, that's it.
Frank Lampard?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Frankie goes to Hollywood.
Everton manager, Frank Lampard, message me.
Okay, so Lampers.
Big Lampy. Message me.
He's not up to much these days, to be fair, is he? So
no. He's got a lot of time on his hands. But so Frank messaged and said that it was a little sneaky whiskey delivery story. And basically says that he's no longer allowed to get whiskey delivered to the house and has to have it all sent to the office. He's got his own, running his own company. So he keeps all his whiskey at the storage unit and then has to try and sneak it back into his car and then back into his house as well. So it wasn't just me sneaking stuff into the car. Now, I won't elaborate too much, but Frank's employment, he makes fun devices that you might have in a bedside drawer. I'll let your imagination run wild. And what made me laugh...
Offices and orifices.
Yes.
What you're sort of saying.
What made me laugh is that Frank was stressing about sneaking whiskey into the house when on a day-to-day basis, stuff he makes is like having the same effect on all his customers as they might be trying to sneak devices into their house. So massive shout out to Frank. Thank you for contacting me. You know who you are. And I loved that story and it made me chuckle.
Oh my days. I think you're blushing.
I look like an umpa-lumpa in this light, I'll be fair.
So does Frank listen to the pod then? I assume
Frank
does
listen to the pod. He contacted me saying I listen to the pod. Just had a few other inquiries around other matters. But yeah.
So Frank, this is a shout out for you. Let's get physical, physical. That's all I can think of.
It's good.
Listener's Corner. It's come from a retired lady, and Juliet Lewis. So not the movie star Juliet Lewis, another Juliet Lewis. It turns out that her husband doesn't like whiskey, been together for years. So what she does is she sends him to the pub to drink Foster's so she can sneak a dram in at home. So I think it's quite impressive. And she has to smuggle bottles back into, because he doesn't understand her whiskey, right? So he has to smuggle bottles back in when she's been out swimming in the week, back into in a swimming bag. And then she decants them into like fancy kind of jar thing.
That's like a decanter.
Yeah, in the covers. Yeah, well, yeah, like a decanter, but not like a sort of coffee type decanter thing, but it's obviously all sealed. And then, she has a dram when she sent him to the pub.
the lengths we have to go to for this hobby.
Yeah, so thanks very much, Juliet Lewis.
Thank you very much.
Appreciated.
My advice.
Yeah, and nice to have a lady story.
Find yourself a whiskey loving gentleman. Make your life easier. Or lady.
Or just separate and then you can do whatever you want. Right.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Okay, so on to the main subject of the pod then today, Mike. Tupids, which is about dice, right? Yep. So I made a recommendation to you to read or listen, and you've chosen to listen
obviously.
To the book. And the author is Luke Reinhart, and the book is called
The Dice Man.
Yeah, The Dice Man. Yeah. It's a bit of a dark book, really, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. I'm a bit sort of weary of you now, having listened to it, because it was your recommendation, and it's basically the tale of an absolute psychopath.
Like, oh, well, I read it, I read it a long time ago.
I didn't know where it was going, and it went pretty dark, pretty damn quickly,
yeah.
And maintained that level throughout, I would say.
But if you're able to separate, so I haven't read it for a really long time, and I do remember the really dark bits in the book, so it's not really about that. Although it does seem to be that whenever people decide to sort of use dice to make decisions, it always seems to be for dark reasons. Like, you know, in that episode of Luther where they use like dice to like make really... So my main plea here would be dice can be used to make fun, nice decisions. They don't have to be used to make, you know, dark decisions. But the fundamental thing in Dice Man is he sort of reasons that any time you, even just like 1%, if you might want to do something wacky, like whack somebody, yeah. Right? And, you know, 10% if you want to have an ice cream, and 20% if you want to have a sleep, and, you know, 30% wants to actually do the work you're supposed to do, and the remaining, you know, wants to sit and pour a glass of whiskey, right? So he just would associate the odds to the dice and then roll the dice, and therefore he's taking the decision-making process out of his hands. Yeah. So you're kind of... How would you put it? Like you're handing over the...
Well, it's... You're handing over the responsibility to fate. But
yeah,
the sort of key clincher of the book is that it's not down to fate, because you're ultimately the one that's choosing the outcomes. So
You're pulling the strings,
yeah,
right?
Because you could go, you know, well, I want a banana instead of having a whiskey in there. But if you're selecting whiskey, it means you're open for a whiskey. So yeah, it was a really good book. Thought-provoking, but absolutely dark. And
yeah, super dark, but thought-provoking, right? So what have we done? Well, what have you done? I mean, your dice decisions would have been water or water, right?
Do I lay down straight on my back, or go into the fetal position on the left, or the fetal position on the right?
Will you treat yourself to open up your toes or keep them closed?
Do you cry or not cry today?
Well, I've rolled a 5 and a 6. I'm going to allow myself a wee cry. Yeah.
But no, so I haven't really used this, obviously, throughout this period.
But you did listen to the audio book, though.
Yeah, because so I had a lot of time on my hands. But I thought, I've got a virtual dice now loaded up on Google, so I'm going to let it decide what dram I have, because I've got two next to me. So I've got an old Benroma Cask Strength, one of the original ones from 2009, and then the... Jameson single pot still, which is the higher strength. I think it is 46%. So
nice.
If it's even, I'm going to be going for the Jamesons, and if it's odds, it's Ben Romack. I'm rolling. It's a 3. I'm going for the Ben Roma cast strength. Now, this is a stunning dram. It's probably up there with Springbank 10, but it's available and it's really good value, so that's going to be my little hint for anyone. I know you've mentioned it previously, but if you want a good value dram, you can't get Springbank, another alternative, Ben Romack, absolutely flavorful, dirty, lovely.
I do like a Ben Romack. Mike's celebrating because some people have requested not to big up Ben Romack too much, like
people don't want the secret out of the bag that Ben Romack Cask is absolutely amazing. Sadly, we're here for you, people. So, get it while you can at a good price before it goes up.
I will allow the dice to make a decision as to whether I have another dram or not. So I'll say on an even, I will move on from this old Goonsies malt, Manic Moor 13-year-old, to an Ardenbrocken. And I rolled a 6, so that means a yes, doesn't it? There we go. So I've used the dice to make decisions for the last 10 days-ish.
Have you done any all mental kinds of decisions? Ones? Like any sort of like, is it day-to-day decisions you've been doing?
No, mostly decisions around whiskey and stuff. Not like, you know, not full-on life decisions. Like you said, you're in control of what you're going to, you know, but anything whiskey-related, I've used the dice to make decisions. So this included how many bottles of that Lot Lomond 18 to buy. I rolled a dice.
No way.
I bought 3.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. And then... Tom was online out saying, what, you know, yeah, you got three, you're greedy. And I was like, well, I did find it. It was my link. I found it. But yeah, the dice told me to buy three.
Not
so
your fault, mate.
It's not my fault, is it? It's not my fault. And someone else would have just bought them all anyway, probably. I'm sure with those kind of things, when people go, oh, it's sold out, it's because a bunch of us bought one or two, and in my case, three. Yeah. But because one person out there bought like 20.
Guaranteed.
Right, and they're going to put one in, they're going to put one in auction, or 50, and they're going to put one in auction for the next, every auction for the next 50 auctions.
And make £10. £4 a bottle.
Yeah, so it's like, well, whatever, probably a tenner or whatever. Anyway, so I got three. What else? I used a dice to decide whether to bid on bottles at auction.
Oh, did you?
Legitimately, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Which was actually a bit of a shame because it came to the end of Scottish whiskey auctions, which is my favourite one. And the dice said, no, don't bid anymore.
That's good, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I used it on the Sunday to place some bids midday. So the dice was like, yeah, get involved.
Get involved, buddy.
Well, so you can roll a dice to say, should I bid or not? And then what? How much to bid?
Yeah.
You know, so I place the second odd, you know, the odds on what I'm going to, you know, how much to bid on onto the next dice. So I did that, but that meant that I had a pretty uneventful Scotch whiskey auctions because the dice kind of blocked me doing any sniping at like 10, 55 or whatever it is.
The universe has spoken, mate.
Yeah, so I got nothing from this one.
Hey.
Because of the dice.
Maybe it was meant to happen.
Yeah. I used the dice to make the decision to buy the Master of Malt Secret Islay.
Yeah.
But that was a simple, it was literally 1, 2, 3, no, 4, 5, 6, yes.
Yeah.
It was a, you know, it was a 50-50. Because that's how I felt about it. I was like, well, 50-50, I want this.
Yeah.
In the end, probably the right decision. And I've used it to make a decision about what to have. I did have one day where I think I asked the dice three times and the dice said no every single time.
Oh, really?
To have in a whiskey. Yeah, so I didn't have any whiskey on that day. But on the other days, the dice have been very generous.
Oh, yeah, super generous.
Yeah, super
crawling
generous.
Crawling upstairs.
Yeah, so... I think also I've tended to have a whiskey sort of earlier in the day because I'm getting up earlier now. So I would have a whiskey sort of early evening, right? You know, and maybe like finish, you know, 8 o'clock or whatever. And then nothing late and because I'm getting up earlier. So that's been a bit of a change.
Making you feel a bit fresher in the AM?
Yeah, kind of. I do think like it's been fun for a few days to let the dice make decisions, really, particularly around whiskey. I don't know if I'll continue it. What it did remind me of, though, is it's just fun rolling dice because I don't play really board games anymore. And it's kind of fun to just have, sort of have a dice like knocking around in your pocket. And
have you dusted off the Monopoly?
I had to steal one. So I stole one from Trivial Pursuit.
No.
So six is like a triangle.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Pyramid.
Yeah, pyramid. No, triangle. What do you call it? It's like the cheese, isn't it?
Dairy Lee.
In Trivial Pursuit, it's... The little triangle that you get.
Oh,
is that what it's called? Yeah, you know, you get the little triangle segments. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's been fine. I might use it in future, maybe, but I don't know.
You should do it like when you take it out to the pub, because like it'll just help. People will think you're absolutely mad. I'm gonna have a pint of beer on one. I'm gonna have a gin and tonic on two. Blah 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 blah.
If you're gonna do it, definitely get down on your knees with a little notepad in the middle of like the pub floor. And just get the dice out and say a little ritual and then roll the dice. And then afterwards go, I mean, no.
But you have to have your tongue out when you're writing them down and stuck to the side. Yeah. And put the dice in your mouth, spit it out in the air so it lands.
I did use the dice to make a decision as to whether to go to the pub when I was invited by somebody. Yeah. So I let the dice decide on that as well.
Did you go to the pub?
Dice said yes. Oh. And the dice also said yes to drinking bad alcohol, which was really disappointing.
Yeah. Straight on the Fosters.
Yeah, I think I gave it like... one and a two and I would be firm.
Yeah.
So one, I wasn't that strong. I was like on a roll of a one or two, I will say no and I'll just have like Diet Coke or something. 3 to 6, I'll drink this rubbish course or something like that. Yeah, the dice.
So you made more numbers, did you say, for the long, bigger?
Well, for the choice of a
whiskey.
So
one and two for...
Well, in that case, I just did one and two was in, I'm going to drink Diet Coke and 3 to 6, I'll drink beer with the rest of them. Because it's quite hard to drink Diet Coke.
So better odds to go with.
Yeah, you decide the odds exactly like you said. So mostly I've done kind of 50-50 stuff like odds or evens for whiskey. You know, like evens is have a dram, odds isn't, and then 1 to 3 is this bottle, 4 to 6 is that bottle. Yeah. you know, if I roll a six, finish the bottle off. That type of stuff. You know. Yeah. I'll keep the dice to one side maybe and use it to make decisions when I get stuck in future.
You know what? That would actually be like a really good night out, just to let the dice decide what you drink, where you go.
Oh, where you go?
We should have a night out on the dice.
So you just get the map out. You say, okay, there's three pubs.
Yeah.
Right, and then you let the dice decide which pub you're going to. Right. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And then also whether you're going to have short pine or whatever, you could let the dice decide
completely.
That as well.
Like red wine, white wine, Guinness, Stella, whiskey.
Yeah.
And then some random.
We could have an honest malt dice night out.
Yeah. We'll get some branded dice. Yeah. Sell them. Make a fortune.
Yeah.
This time next year, Rodney.
Yeah, this time next year, right. But anyway, it was a good little experiment, wasn't it?
That's decent. I like that.
So what have we got coming up in... we know we've got soon Graham from Dingle coming on, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Also, we might have...
International guests fairly well as well.
International. Mm-hmm. Is that confirmed, is it?
I was thinking what you talked about, eh?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So somebody else... Very well known international distiller, a huge story and lots of sort of idolized a bit by people. They've agreed to come on as well, so that's two very exciting guests. And what about the short term, Mike Tupuds? Is there any kind of
we have another guest? Someone
that's three guest lineups already getting a bit overwhelming.
A daily radio presenter in the UK.
Right, is that definite though?
Definite.
Okay.
Yeah, that is 100%. We've sent him some drams. Oh, I've said him. I've already revealed something. You might guess it. Mm. So we've sent him some whiskies and we're going to talk through it and try and just broaden his horizons with what to get out of whiskey. So that could be good, hopefully.
Excellent. We're also still in search of a vicar or rabbi or any person of cloth of some kind, but not Snoop.
Or a reverend that hasn't got an agent.
And preferably, is into whiskey as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you, like, we've had a couple of recommendations, but if you know of anybody else, then just let us know.
Yeah.
We should also mention the Oswas has come out recently? Is it the online Scotch Whiskey Awards run by Roy and Ralphie?
Right? So, the gatekeepers.
And so it's good to see that kicking off again. Yeah. I think people are getting very excited about
It's third year, I believe. I think it is third year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good watch.
It's also worth shouting out the V-Pub, which I don't think we've shouted out before, or have we?
Don't know. We should.
We should do so, shouldn't we? I think if you're really into, if you're like super like into your the detail around whiskey, then Roy, how do you say it? Is it Aqua Vitae.
The water of life.
So the water of life, yeah. So Aqua Vitae, Roy runs a V-Pub on Thursdays generally, except from the summers, about 9:45 on a Thursday. Yep. Sometimes we go and hop in that and have a little listen and have a dram with everybody else. I often bow out before the quiz just because it gets a bit late for me, but but I'm always in there. I'm usually in there for the first hour or so. So big shout out to Roy.
I like to stay on for the quiz and give myself half marks, quarter marks, because it really annoys people in there as well. So, it is worthwhile. The quiz is like, I don't know how people get a 10 out of 10 without cheating. A lot of them are like...
Because they use their phones.
Maybe
this is we talked about this on the pod before, and people just using
pub
their phones
quiz cheaters
to cheat.
But it's good. But really detailed session. He's live. He has guests occasionally. If you haven't already, check it out. I think like when he's doing it, you probably get about 300 people minimum live.
Watching. It's about 300 to 400 people.
Think of it. That's this insane amount of people to watch.
It's a packed
YouTube
pub.
Live.
Very packed pub.
It's a good pub.
So it sounds to me like we've got a really good run into Christmas. Mm. So looking forward to it. Again, thanks to everyone for listening. Yep. And the next episode will be next week.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. He's looking at me in case my back goes again. But as it stands, yes, we're all good.
As it stands,
we're all good. I like it when you start really quiet.